Hello everyone, I'm Alan Ashton and you're tuned in to Organ First Radio. It's nice to have your company. Hello again and welcome to Organ First Radio. A whole bunch of new and exciting recordings in this month's edition, plus an interview with popular organist Richard Bauer and some organ sounds from my own archives. But for starters, a big thank you to everyone who sent Christmas greetings to me in one form or another. The complimentary remarks about the programme were much appreciated and make the efforts of myself and the Organ First team all the more worthwhile. Well, getting the first of the 2008 programmes off to a bright and breezy start is Chris Powell at his Roland AT-80SL with a strict tempo toe-tapping quartet of favourites, the titles being Who's Sorry Now, Tammy, April in Paris and After You've Gone. Thank you. A lively foursome from Chris Powell, not at the famous Blackpool Tower Wurlitzer, although with that sound and style you might easily have thought that it was Reginald Dixon. The track comes from Chris's latest CD, his 11th no less, and this one is simply titled Reflections. 15 exciting tracks, commencing with music which is always going to be associated with Fred Astaire, and ending with the overture Orpheus in the Underworld, and all played and recorded by Chris on his Roland Atelier AT-80SL. Chris and Marie have recently become proud first-time parents, and as you'll have seen from our video screen, they've got themselves a new publicity manager. Time now to have a look at Volume 4 of the Theatre Organ Echoes compilations that are marketed by MSS Studios. The theme of this latest release is Around the World, and it comprises of 73 minutes of music played by 11 organists on 10 organs, many of them no longer with us, a statement that applies equally to instruments and artists. The actual recordings are culled from the previous catalogues of Amberley and Audicord Records, so the chances are you may have some of the originals. As ever, the presentation and artwork is very attractive, and when it comes to ironing out the audio content, which spans a great many years and more microphones than you could throw a stick at, Ian King at MSS has done an excellent job. And here to prove that point is Kevin Morgan at the Witten House Huntingdon Compton Organ to take us on a journey around Manhattan. Manhattan, played by Kevin Morgan at the Rittenhouse Huntingdon Compton Organ. And that's taken from Theatre Organ Echoes, Volume 4. Remember, with so many titles, instruments and artist details to read out, you can check out everything on this CD on these very pages. It's also important to remember that no matter which country you might order from, MSS provide a very fast and efficient mail order service. Some of the earliest LP recordings in my collection are those from the former Ad Rhythm Company, which produced some of the best electronic organ recordings back in the days when a number of instruments were vying for pole positions in the organ world. But the one instrument that reigned supreme, and some say continues to do so, was the Hammond organ. Later in the show, I'll be reviewing a new CD that deals exclusively with some historic recordings of the Hammond organ. But in the meantime, let's have a listen to one of the smaller instruments of the Ad Rhythm recording days era, the Philacordia GM761, which organist and famous writer of tutorial books Ken Baker was associated with. With many of those Ad Rhythm LPs, the policy was to always explain how the sounds on each track were produced. This tune, called Philly Nova, was one that Ken wrote, and in the sleeve notes, he says, "I wrote this piece some years ago for an organ tutor called Philacordia Styles and Rhythms. The piece was written under duress, the main reason being that we needed a bossa nova for the book and just didn't have one available. In this extended version, there's a crafty key change in the middle, taking us down a tone from E flat and then back up again into F. In spite of this, however, we still end positively and resolutely in the key of C." And he still can't make it out. Anyway, here is Kenny Baker and Philanova. Kenny Baker playing Philly Nova, taken from a 1973 LP titled Baker's Dozen. And yes, it does have 13 tracks. At the other end of the scale, Conn organs were also beginning to market their range of instruments, which were aimed at those buyers that wanted a more theatrical sound, not to mention a three-manual cinema organ-style console. Here's Ronald Curtis, who back in the early 80s had such an instrument in his famous Paramount Organ Studio in Bolton. Ronald Curtis, and yes, I remember it well, played at the Conn electronic organ. Well, I think I should quickly slot in a theatre organ recording in order to try and keep a nice balance of music in the show. So coming up next is a new one from the American-based Pipe Organ Presentations Company, which features Trevor Bolshaw playing three contrasting instruments. In fact, the title of the CD is Contrasts. The instruments in question are a Wurlitzer, which used to be in Dormston House, the home of Alan Hickling, a businessman and former chairman of a West Midlands local council. Then there's the larger Wurlitzer, which at the time of the tracks on the CD was in Granada Studio Tours attraction at the Manchester Television Studios. And finally, an even larger Wurlitzer in the Music Grinder Pizza Emporium in Marietta, USA. Quite a choice of organs, and equally so is the music. So what to choose? Well, Trevor is renowned for often including items of music that often get overlooked, like this short selection from the show Good News. Thank you. selection from the show Good News, a musical which opened on Broadway in 1927 with music from that well-known team of De Silva, Brown and Henderson. It was played there by Trevor Bolshaw on the Marietta Pizza Emporium 25 rank Wurlitzer, and is just one track from his new CD titled Contrasts on pop label number 103. POP 103. And again, full details on the MSS web pages. When it comes to remembering personalities in the organ world, there are many who will recall that a few years back I took over the running of a web-based organ music programme on the Organ Facts pages. The presenter was Ian Wolstenholme, someone I've known for a great many years, but a change of employment meant that he couldn't devote the amount of time needed to present the show. He now works in a veterinary practice, but he still keeps his hand in, so to speak, and recently sent me the following interview that he conducted with one of Yamaha's top demonstrators, one half of the Key Clicks duo, Richard Bauer. Let's eavesdrop.
For the best organ music on the internet, it has to be Organ First Radio.
Richard, for the benefit of our new listeners to Organ First Radio, and it's still very new and very much in its infancy, welcome along. It's been a little while since you and I had a chat elsewhere on the airwaves, so to speak. If we gave you a 30-second platform, how would you describe your role, place, and everything else to do with that in the world of music, and that, of course, of Yamaha, specifically?
Okay, 30 seconds. That's quite an ask.
We're up to 25 now. No. We can give a little longer.
Okay. I'm still very much a concert organist, really. But actually now playing on Tyros 2 instrument with the second keyboard and the pedal board for the Organ Society concert, so it keeps everyone happy. The nice new sounds, but they say two keyboards and pedals, so the traditionalists are happy as well, I hope. And seemingly it's going down very well. Everyone seems to enjoy the shows. Out and about, still with Tyros on its own. Lots of shopping centre gigs, actually, at the moment. So that's really nice to get out and meet new people. And it's actually amazing how many people that you'll play to and just will walk past and then will come back absolutely amazed at what they're hearing. There's still so many people out there that have no idea about any of this.
I guess from your point of view then, as an artist, you've sort of changed and transformed over the many years that you've been involved in the organ and keyboard world, Richard. The idea of somebody doing a shopping centre sounds intriguing. Is it really right that people will actually stop and in their busy workaday lives and actually listen to music?
Absolutely. Actually, just a couple of days ago, I was in Oxford. We had some digital pianos down there, just literally sitting and playing just some nice background music, some easy listening things, some Latin things, some rock and roll. And actually, people will stop and they'll have a look and are generally just amazed at what's out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, in many respects, this sort of flies in the face of everything that the traditional keyboard world has tried to purport over the years, of maybe preaching to people who come along to demonstrations such as this and who are dyed-in-the-wool enthusiasts and will sit and know what to expect. In some respects, you're handling, if you like, raw, uncharted territory.
Absolutely, and it's always the case that obviously to try and get new people involved and interested just in making music, apart from anything else, so many people will have learnt maybe as kids, and then you know they bring up discover girls and football and bring up a family and all the things that we do, and then maybe at retirement age they'll be looking for something else to do, just wandering through the shopping centre and ooh, that's a nice sound. What's that all about then? And we'll come and have a wander over. Or indeed, lots of times we actually meet mums and dads and families. You know, where mum used to play and hasn't played for years. Dad never really fancied having a go, but we'll have a go with the follow the lights thing. The facilities that will help you to play. The kids might be running up to GCSE music, so in that case, they need something nice to play that they can record themselves playing, etc., etc. So the digital pianos generally now and the keyboards are more of a family entertainment instrument rather than just something specific that someone will just sit and play. So it's a very inclusive instrument rather than an exclusive instrument for the person that plays and no one else touches it, which has got to be good.
Yamaha celebrates, what, 40 years, is it, this year in one way or another?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember, as a schoolboy, you mentioned school kids there, I remember quite vividly, probably what would be one of the early Yamaha upright pianos in my old primary school. Now I'm a governor at a secondary school, my eldest son's secondary school, and they've just transformed their music department beyond any recognition. It's a music laboratory, and it's kitted out with something like 30-odd Yamaha keyboards around the place. I mean, this again is something quite startling, the fact that very young children are being introduced to instruments. Is it a bit like how it used to be in Japan? Are we sort of catching up with that?
I think we are. And again, just getting the kids involved. And it's always the case that to try and get kids to come to a concert is very difficult, because it's 2 hours of them sitting there listening to something that maybe they it's not their exact taste in music. Kids are doers rather than listeners. And if they actually get involved with making music, that's a phenomenal thing, and the hook's then always there. I did a gig recently down in Canterbury, and we've got a big music school down there, and they have a gala concert every year, and there's something like 100 pupils actually play on the show in various groups. So you've got keyboard players, you've got drummers, you've got guitarists, saxophone players, brass and woodwind, vocalists, the whole thing, and it's just it's a variety show.
It's interesting because, again, I distinctly remember having a cassette tape. Do you remember those things?
Yeah.
Of the Yamaha showcasings in Japan in the mid-80s, and, you know, sounds that we were hearing then, we're now maybe hearing over here from some of our youngsters.
It's just interesting that you mentioned about the cassette. I've just recently done a Klaus Wunderlich tribute. So, of course, all the Klaus Wunderlich LPs came down from the loft. Yes. And our youngest says, we took one of these big LPs out of his sleeve. Which was always an event, wasn't it? Taking an LP out of his sleeve. And Matthew, bless him, our youngest says, "What's that big black CD?" He'd never seen one.
Well, so Richard, I mean, obviously we know that some time ago Yamaha pulled out of the traditional organ design per se. I know there are certain instruments you can buy now, you know, Stage A or Stagia or whatever you want to call it. But I mean, is the writing still very much on the wall for the traditional home organist in terms of Yamaha? Is it mainly going to be keyboards and digital pianos now?
It's very definite. Keyboard and digital piano, because they are doing so well, and economically
it's a question of
it's a, just pure matter of figures. However, it's also very apparent that there's lots of interest in this Tyros custom system that James and I have really developed. James Sargent obviously has massive experience in creating organ sounds. I've helped out with this a lot, and just putting this together really does seem to be causing a lot of interest. So it's very definitely a case, I think, that we can kind of look at this two ways. Lots of people say, well, wouldn't it be nice to have the Tyros sound in an organ? Well, let's look at it the other way. Let's make the Tyros 2 into an organ.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you, as a consummate professional, don't need any avenue like this, but if you wanted to get a message over to say some organ society secretaries now, to try and free up their thinking a little bit in terms of the custom equipment that you've got, how would you do that?
I'd say I'm available for bookings. Yeah, try
I'm
it.
Sure you would say that. I'm sure you would. I wasn't thinking it from your selfish angle, Johan. I was thinking from again. You know, we've got to face up to the fact, and I call the spade a shovel, that some of the societies that we've seen do tend to be headed by people who have a little bit of blinkered thinking.
I think, I don't think that's an unfair thing to say.
That's fine.
I think that actually a chap from the northwest of England summed it up perfectly about 2 months ago, and he asked me what I was playing, and he actually didn't know the model numbers, so I didn't talk about model numbers. I said, look, it's a great sounding keyboard with another one underneath and a pedal board. It's on a stand. Effectively, it's what you would always expect. It's two keyboards and a pedal board. And there was a sort of 5 second silence while he just sort of mulled this over on the other end of the phone, and he says, it's an organ with no clothes on.
My thanks there to Ian Wolstenholme for conducting that interview with Yamaha demonstrator Richard Bauer. Unfortunately, we haven't got anything of Richard playing the Yamaha Tyrus, but if you'll settle for the Yamaha Clavinova CVP-307, then we can all enjoy the theme music from a wonderful film on Golden Pond. Richard Bauer at the Yamaha CVP-307 and on Golden Pond. In the past, I've always been more than keen to include the electronic recordings made by Tony Whittaker, a professional musician who has been in the business for some 30 years or more. His home ground is Leamington Spa, and he holds the position of musical director at the Royal Spa Centre. Tony's also interested in widening his horizons, and one of the things he wants to do is branch out and perhaps take up playing theatre organ also. The opportunity arose for him to try out the Cinema Organ Society's 3-manual 11-rank Compton organ in Fenton Hall in Solihull in the West Midlands, on which instrument he recorded one of his own compositions, The Warwick Waltz. Something of an exclusive performance, Tony Whittaker at the Cinema Organ Society's 3-manual 11-rank Compton organ in Fenton Hall in Solihull, with his own composition, The Warwick Waltz, which, together with 5 more of his own compositions, he's just published, and all of them are suitable for piano, organ or keyboard. And you can check out the details on his web pages, which are www.tonywhittaker.co.uk www.tonywhittaker.co.uk. And I have to say, for a first-time effort on a theatre organ, that was pretty impressive.
Organ First Radio, for all that's best in internet organ music.
Now, I promised you details of a new Hammond organ CD. The title is Hitting the Hammond, and it's on the Rex label, the number being 117. A compilation of this kind has been a long time coming, and there are 25 tracks, all taken from early 78 RPM recordings made by the likes of Jerry Allen and the Allentones, Harry Farmer, also known of course as Chris Hamilton, Robin Richmond and Jimmy Leach. Considering the age of some of these recordings, which have all been cleaned via the Cedar digital restoration system, the end results are not bad. Out of all the recordings, it's those by Jimmy Leach which have not got the clarity of the others. Well, as we hear Jerry Allen at the beginning and end of each edition of Organ First radio shows, I thought we'd take a trip down memory lane in the company of the old organ grinder himself, Robin Richmond, with Hysterics Rag. Hysterics Rag, played by Robin Richmond with rhythm accompaniment and a little bit of help from a very early keyboard attachment known as the clavulin. Now, a gentleman that my wife and I shared a table with at the John Romero Festival in Eastbourne last year has written in to ask for a recording of the theme music from the film Spartacus. Well, I didn't have a copy by the artist he suggested, but do have a rather historic and unusual version played by George Blackmore, which he recorded back in the 70s at the Kitchen Brothers Garage Dis in Norfolk. The organ was the former Paramount Newcastle upon Tyne Wurlitzer, but as a planned piano attachment was not ready, George had to record the piano section on a beautiful Bösendorfer piano in a recording studio at a later date. And then the organ and piano were seamlessly joined together with the following result. the Spartacus theme, played there by the late George Blackmore from a very early Cinema Organ Society cassette. Now don't forget, details of all the recordings used in these programmes are shown on the accompanying Organ First Radio pages, and most of them are still available, although of course not that last one. And that just about brings this month's edition of Organ First Radio to a close. Hope you've enjoyed the choice of music and that I can have the pleasure of your company again each and every month throughout 2008. So from Ian and Jerry King at MSS Studios and yours truly, Alan Ashton, all that remains is to say a Happy New Year to you all.
Organ First Radio was produced and presented by Alan Ashton, with technical direction by Ian King.